Today we're going to talk about creating a digital home for your salon, and I want to introduce you to Claire Fielder from HelloWalnuts.com. Now, Claire creates elegant, beautiful websites, and she shares with us three important strategies for creating a client-attracting website.
You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLeman.
Welcome, Claire. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored.
Yeah, I'm really pleased that we've got together because we've been meaning to do this for a long time.
Yeah.
and it's a little bit hard because we're literally on opposite sides of the world. It's first thing in the morning there for you, and it's past my bedtime here for me.
That's okay, but that's the beauty of technology, hey?
Absolutely. So look, why don't we start with, why don't you tell us a little bit about your business, what you do, and how you got about doing what you do?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So I design beautiful, elegant websites for salon owners. So I always consider your website as your digital home. So it's great to have your Facebook account and your Instagram account as your online portfolio, but it's great to, you know, as a salon owner, to be really professional, even if you're just a stylist within the salon, to have your own website to really direct people to. So you've got that home base for people to look at your work and take time to get to know you and who's going to be doing your hair. So that's what I do. And I think my approach is, I remember what it's like to design or have your first website. So I really do transform myself back in those days when I had somebody build my first website for me. So I think that's where I'm quite unique. I do take myself back to those points and remember how frightening it can be, overwhelming and very complex. So my background is a little bit unusual. So I used to work in corporate. I used to analyze supermarkets. I used to call myself a trolleyologist. So understand all the different elements of a supermarket. So I work with some of the biggest retailers in the world and some of the biggest manufacturers in the world. So the likes of, you know, Procter & Gamble, Unilever, Nestle. And I help to advise them what they should be doing within supermarkets. And obviously, as my career grew and as technology grew, obviously we had to understand what was happening online to those products and how people bought online products from those supermarkets as well. So I've taken all that knowledge. And I have to say, back in the day, I was a little bit scared of technology. The idea of building a website myself, sort of, you know, 5-6 years ago would have frightened the pants off of me. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's a mindset change of actually, I want to start running my own business. And by learning how to do websites, I learned how to be creative. I kind of exploded this creative vibe of myself that I never discovered before. And really relish learning how to do things. And I think that's the key thing with websites as well. And with any part of having your own business, it's that mindset of understanding, you know what, I've got to learn how to do this, or I've got to pay somebody to do it for me. So I think that's kind of a very broad history of how I kind of got into the industry. So particularly for hair and beauty, I was in an online Facebook group, and I just connected with somebody in there, and they were starting doing their own salon business, and I started creating her website. And as I looked more into the industry, I saw the more help it needed. It's not in a disrespectful way, but I think there's, you know, a lot of people who don't have that part of their training. You know, you guys know how to cut hair and how to colour it and how to give great customer service and all those different elements. But it doesn't seem like the industry has caught up in giving people that digital training on how to do that online presence or being on Facebook and being on Instagram and having your own website. And so I just really saw a need. And so I've been working with more and more salons because of that.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And in fact, you've really enjoyed working in the industry, haven't you?
I think it's just because I'm so curious. I get into a particular industry exactly like this one, like before, because as I say, I dealt with supermarkets, so I dealt with lots of different categories. So it could be, you know, cheese, or it could be health and beauty products, or diapers, etc., etc. But you just dive into that industry and you can see from an outside perspective what, as a customer, you are hoping for, as an ideal client, what you're hoping for from a salon website. And then you can help influence the industry to say, actually, you could be making more sales if you did this. You could be, you know, giving the industry a better name, or you could stand out from your competition if you did this. And that's what I love doing, is really diving in to understand about the industry and where the sort of the pain points are, and trying to help people to overcome those.
Yeah, that's great. So you have provided for us today some of your top tips in really making a killer website for a salon.
Yeah.
And one of the things we talked about was, or that you've experienced, is how difficult it is for people to choose where, what, and who is going to host their website. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about that? And demystify all the what sounds really scary, you know, who do I host my website with? What should salon owners be doing and looking for?
Yeah, no, and I can completely go back to those moments of overwhelm, thinking there's so much new terminology that comes at you. You know, what the hell is a plugin? I've got no idea. What's WordPress? What's Squarespace? And because there's so many different options over there, it can be overwhelming. And so I think that's where lots of people get stuck and get confused and maybe retreat back into their shells, is because they can't make a decision because they don't know what they should be looking for. So when we're looking about a platform, there's two different types of platforms in very layman's term. There's one, something called a closed source. I know it's getting technical. Don't worry, I will talk you through it. There's a closed source platform and an open source platform. And kind of the names do what they say. So the closed one means that the company that offers it, only the company can add new things to it, can improve it. So it means less people are likely to use that platform, and it means less developers and designers are going to work with it. So companies that fall into that closed platform of people like Wix, Weebly, Squarespace. Now, some of those companies, I think, offer great websites, especially Squarespace, beautiful looking websites, but they don't have that flexibility of anybody in the world looking at that code or looking at how that is structured and adding to the story, adding new products, new services to improve it. It only happens within the company and its employees. Now, the other element is something called open source platform. And this is where WordPress, which probably lots of your audience have heard, comes into play. So I think around about 70-80% of the web use WordPress. So WordPress is an open source platform, which means if you're a coder, developer, you can get access to it. So it's owned virtually by the world. Like, no one person really owns it. And it means that you can get people that are really passionate about it and develop it. It also means if you're having your website design, you're going to have more options of people being able to help you and support you. It also means that the great YouTube there will also have more training resources and more different elements for you to get to than if you went to one of these closed source platforms. So that is basically how I describe the platforms. But my recommendation is always to go to WordPress, because it's more widely used. There's lots of people looking at to develop it and push it, to grow it and to make it, you know, really exciting. And so that's why I always say to choose that platform.
So I now, think one of the important things that you've hit on there is that while salon owners are less likely to build their own website, although they do sometimes, it does mean that you're not locked into one business or one developer, and you find someone, because I've seen this so many times, somebody gets their website built and then that company goes out, or that developer, website builder moves country or changes career or whatever happens, and they're stuck and they have to have a whole new one built.
And you know, that does happen. It's not to say if you're already on Wix or Weebly or Squarespace, you can't change to go onto WordPress. You can, it makes it a little bit more difficult, but we've got little secret tools that we can use to try and ease the pain.
I see.
You know, which I'm doing at the moment for somebody who's using a platform I've never heard before. I'm like, what is this one called? So, you know, it can be done. So you're not always, and that's the other thing with websites is you're not, nothing's set in stone. Things can be changed. Yeah. They may take time, they may take cost, but nothing's set in stone.
So then it's about finding a person that you connect with and that can understand what you want and can pull the tools in together to do that.
Yeah, and that's why it's always great to have a conversation with a designer or a couple of designers to see who thinks like you or who isn't like you. You know, if you're somebody who needs somebody who's going to be very regimented and say, this is my deadline, I need it here, and, you know, kind of, you know, get the whip out, you know, like, you know, if you need that, you know, because some people are, if you need that, then if you know that's what you need to get it done, then find that type of person. It's really understanding how you work as an individual and what you need from your website designer. Do you want somebody you can make decisions with, or do you want to just hand it over to them and they make all the decisions? You know, you've got to understand what you want before you go to design and go, just look into yourself and say, you know, I really want to be involved in this process. I want to know how things kind of work. I don't need to know all the detail. And just see who delivers that to you when they talk to you. Who can explain things into a language I can understand? Or does somebody use, and I've, you know, I've experienced myself when people have used very complex language, and you think, you know what, I just don't understand. I understand the words, but you've just made no sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be, if you're paying somebody money, you've got to understand what's going on that is at the level that you need to understand it.
It's a bit like finding, you know, a beauty therapist or a hairdresser, really.
Absolutely.
You've got to find someone who understands what you want.
I mean, what is an inch?
That's right. All right, so what about tip number two? How do you choose the design and the look and the brand of your website? Talk to us about that process.
Yeah, oh, this is my favorite part. I love designing. I love it. I think with design, I think it's always really important to understand the two differences, because you can love certain types of design. So you might be into pink, or you might be into unicorns, you might be into nature, you can be into all those types of things. But think about what your ideal client is into as well. You know, are they, you know, into organic, are they into nature? So understanding the difference between the two and what is visually appealing to both of them. So obviously the website, it's hard to say, but you need to sometimes park your ego a little bit on the design from a salon owner's perspective. It is about you, but it's not about you. It's about attracting your ideal client and what they are going to find visually attracting to come in. So think about some of the words you might be using for your ideal client might be, they're going to be chic. So you need to have a website that's got lots of white space, as we would call it. So space for words to breathe so they can easily read it. You want something very slick in the way that it looks. You don't want it looking DIY. You know, it's about, as I think we were talking about earlier, about stock images. You don't want to be using those sort of stock images that you get from your different salon companies that do all the different products, because it doesn't look real and authentic. You've got to look like they're going to be sitting in those seats. So it's great to have some nice photos done of the team, of your salon. And so you can put those photos so the ideal client can imagine sitting in that salon chair in that salon and having a wonderful experience. So the design, sometimes I see that people put a very big picture of themselves on the front page. And you can see that, you know, is their ego coming in going, it's my salon, this is who I am. That's great. But actually, when you're from a client's perspective, you kind of want to get a vibe, a feel, an essence of what it's going to be like there. Is it going to be cutting edge and funky? Is it going to be serene, spa-like, and you know, full of luxury? And that's what you're trying to communicate in design. And we can do that in various different ways. You know, with, you know, when you think about design, yes, you've got the big pictures in there. It's also about the words that you use, but also these little things that we call flourishes that give your brand that little bit of personality that helps to coordinate everything together as well.
I think the really, I'm going to pick up on the really key thing that you said is that the client needs to imagine herself in there.
Yeah,
and that she
absolutely
needs to see herself and not you, and certainly not you know, the brand images of your product company. I want to touch on that because product companies put pictures on to attract hairdressers or to attract beauty therapists, not to attract the client. And so if you're using branding images from your product supplier, it's attracting the wrong person. Clients want to see themselves in the business, don't they? And the other one, and we talked about this before, is, you know, the pictures of the big empty beautiful looking spick span salon, but it's empty. Where are the people and where's the heartbeat? And so you want to have a nice, busy, inviting looking salon so people can imagine themselves in there. And I think you said that really well.
One of my top tips for this particular area is you look when you're looking at design is, you know, thinking from the perspective of maybe a wedding photographer. Yeah. You know, when you go into a wedding photography website, they're not selling them, they are, but they're selling the experience.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's another highly emotional experience, obviously a lot more money than if you're going to a hairdresser. But, you know, in reality, if you have a bad haircut and it can ruin, you know, I know for myself, I had a bad haircut and it lasted 2 years to grow out that bad haircut. So... you know what I mean? So, you know, go onto wedding photography websites and see how they use imagery. See how they talk about, you know, how the day is going to run, how they draw you into wanting to work with them and having them as their, you know, the wedding of choice. And so it's never about them as a photographer. It's always about them as the wedding couple and what they're going to do. And that's really the key point. So as I was saying before, when I used to work in supermarkets, I used to look at different categories, seeing what's going on there, how I can take that knowledge of what's happening in a different category to grow my own category. They're not always transferable skills, but it gives your brain that thinking space, that kind of, you know, beautiful creative thought to say, how can I apply this to what I'm doing?
Okay, and so you've also had a think about the three key elements or your three must-have elements to your website. Let's talk about that because I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think there's a couple, so in no particular order for these. I think we just touched on it. It was, you know, they've got to know who is doing your hair. So the team page is really important. So as I was saying before, get some really nice professional photographs done of all your team and make it personable because these people are coming in to see these particular people. So, you know, are they dog lovers? Are they, you know, add some personality, you know, are they into rocky music or whatever it is? They obviously want to put in, you know, their experience and, you know, what they particularly like doing it. So they might, you know, somebody might be loving to doing, you know, colors, transformations. Somebody might love doing roots, you know, whatever their favorite thing to do in the salon. Just think of, you know, top five favorite things in their world, whatever that may be. Then it kind of gives something to give a connection to. So it could be, you know, put down their favorite book, put down, you know, their favorite song. And then it kind of gives, especially for somebody like me, I'm a bit of an extrovert, introvert, but getting into a salon chair, it's quite an intimate experience of somebody cutting your hair and you've got this absolute stranger and you know, obviously I'm British, you can tell from the accent, but you've got to make a conversation with this person. And you're like, oh, well, what do I say? Do I just get my Kindle out or my book out and just read or play on my phone? But actually having something to say, somebody really likes reading this type of book or likes this type of music or likes something you can make that emotional and sort of a hook with. So you can start to have those conversations. It makes it a more personable experience. And I know this might sound a bit wishy-washy, but it's those types of things that makes somebody wants to actually book something, can go, I can see myself hanging out with this person, them doing my hair for an hour. And yeah, that's
you're so right. It's such a personal experience going to the beauty therapist or the salon. It's so personal. You want to know you're going to connect with that person. And so having that on the website straight away, I think it's, in my experience, the second or third most visited site on the web, page on the website is that teen page. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And what is the other one of your three most important things?
I think also I would say is capturing emails, and you can call it lead capture, you can call it opt-in, there's lots of different terminology we use it to, for it, but basically in essence is getting that email. And I say that for, well, I'll talk about how to do that, but I'll talk about why it's important first of all. You know, if you've just got people who follow you on Instagram or on Facebook, and for whatever reason your account gets closed down, and it happens all the time, then you still need a way of contacting your audience on a more regular basis. And so by having that email, you can, it's old fashioned, I know, but it's still proven as a really useful marketing tool of connecting to your audience. So by having that email account, you don't have to worry about what happens on Facebook. If Facebook closes tomorrow or crashes for whatever reason, not that it will, but if it did, you still got that way of connecting to your audience. And you can remind them of what's coming up in the salon, if you've got any special promotions going on, any special events. But you can, you know, how to maintain their hair ready for the summer or the winter and all those types of things. You can be that extra source of information for them. So how to grab that email? Now, obviously, you can say, if you wanted to, sign up for my newsletter. But that is a little bit, you know, 1990s. You know, it's a little old fashioned there, which is fine.
It's an invitation. Let us spam you.
It is, you know, and that is one way of doing it. It's not a way I recommend, but it is a way. Moving more into the modern day way of doing things are, you know, think about what that ideal client would find useful. What would be of value to them? So, you know, it might be that your salon particularly focuses on using organic products. So you might want to talk about, you know, give some information. It might be somebody talking on a video, it might be a PDF, a little worksheet about why organics is better for your hair, things to watch out for, products you recommend, the differences between the, you know, with the environment. You know, there could be so many different options that you can do. But figure out what is important to your client. If, for example, most of the clients that come into your salon are doing colouring, then again, how do you care for coloured hair? You know, one of the parts of having, you know, coloured hair is that it can get really dry, get really dry end. So, you know, is that something they notice? Is that something that you can help out with? Is that some advice you can give? You know, and lots of this stuff, you guys know bread and butter day in, day out, because you're used to it. But somebody who's, you know, is a customer like myself, we don't know these things. It's like, for example, I know lots and lots of things about websites and I could do them in my sleep. But speaking to somebody who's just new to it, they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't understand you could do that. Or, you know, and they're just so excited because they're finding out all this new information. It's kind of putting yourself in those shoes again, finding what information will be of use to them. So you can do, as I said, you can do it as a PDF, you can do a little video, you can do it over a series of videos as well. There's lots of different ways you can do it, but it's just important to kind of up the game of why this thing of value is important to them in exchange for an email.
It also is positioning you as the expert. And that we've got something to offer, and why would I choose your salon over another.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. And okay. Again, it's beginning steps to building a relationship with that salon as well.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Helping you stand out from the crowd and, choose you over the other. Okay, yeah. So let's talk about one of my favourite subjects, online booking. because I already know that's on your list. So tell us about online booking and where we should be putting it on our website.
Yeah, so online booking. So, obviously, here in the UK, again, we're a little bit behind the times. So depending on where you're listening to this in the world, I think you probably look to the US of how they do this really well. But again, think about the user experience. So I'm somebody who wants to get my hair cut. Maybe your age group is, say 20 to 40 is your ideal client age. The majority of those people are going to be on their mobile phones. So again, think about if somebody's on the mobile phone and they can just order a haircut like they would a pizza, then they're more likely to be booking with you than somebody who doesn't have that facility on their website. So online booking is really important. I personally like a separate page for it. So, somebody who's looking at your website from, a laptop, they can go particularly to that page. You know what you're doing. They've scrolled through the website. They like the look of it. You go to a separate page that says booking. So people know exactly what they're doing. And that way, I also think it reduces down the number of cancellations as well. They haven't just booked in it by accident or they don't know what they're doing. So have a separate page for it. You can always have links all over the website directing people to that booking page. So you might do it from the team page, have it directly linked from booking this person and have that link, click on here to book your appointment, take them to a new page. You might have it within your products and services. Want to do that? Book here from there. If you have a shop on your page as well, you might have at the end of the footer, wanting to book an appointment with us, do that here. So there's lots of links that you can put all over your website. I think it's very important to have one particular page where people know exactly what they're doing. There's no other information on there. That's the only thing they can do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great piece of advice.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we've covered a lot. And I think
we have, and there's so much more we can cover.
That's right. It's a bit of a minefield to create a great website actually attracts clients and turns them into real clients. So I think it's been some great stuff to think about.
Thank you.
So as we lead into the wrap up, I always ask my guests to share a quote or a mantra that keeps you going, because you're a business person and an entrepreneur yourself, and it's hard being out there leading the pack at times. So what's a quote or a mantra that you have that keeps you going as a business owner?
Well, it sounds a bit big-headed, but it's not. And it's three simple words. And it is, you are amazing. And to me, it's really important to put those pauses in between each of those words and really to let that settle in, because that really calms me down and makes me think, okay, I'm not the most awesome, really. I'm not really that amazing sometimes. But actually, I do know stuff. There is stuff that I know that people don't know that I can teach them about. And, I do have these design skills. I do have this knowledge, and it just allows you to give you that confidence to keep on going, to say, just breathe, it's going to be okay. I think that's the essence of the message. But it's just, you are amazing.
Nice. I think you're right, because our minds.
I am amazing. Right. Thank you. I know.
Well, that too, of course. That's actually what I was saying.
I
think you're right. As a business owner, our self-talk, we can sometimes, we're full of ideas and inspiration, but sometimes it can come and bite us and say, oh, can you really do that? Are you really that great? And so you're keeping on top of your self-talk. Good for you.
Thank you.
All right. Why don't you share with us a book or a webinar or a podcast that you think that you listen to or that you think about that our salon owners could listen to or learn from, and why?
So I think when I think about a particular piece of advice, mine would always be, you know, look at things like a photography website, such as a wedding photography website, to kind of get ideas and inspiration to see how you can make that connection with your audience. But I think for myself, and apologies if anybody's got little kids around, pardon my French, as we would say, there's a lady called Lucky Bitch, so www.luckybitch.com, and she talks about money mindset and about pricing. And as a salon owner, I think most of you ladies should be, and guys should be, listening to that, because she advocates going to the salon to have your hair done every week. Mm. And it's kind of one of the key things she talks about as a business owner, you know, six-figure business owners, you should be, or however much money you're making, you should be going to the salon every week, because it improves your business performance. And so by following her, you can understand how self-care is really important to entrepreneurs, into how people think about themselves. And I think that's really important for salon owners as well. So that's one particular website that I would suggest people look into. And she does some very funny and very interesting podcasts and vlogs. She's based out of, I think, Newcastle down in Australia.
She's great, actually, because she's just raw in who she is. But she deals with money mindset. And I think, you know, we're dealing with, as business owners, we're dealing with money. And getting on top of that's important, isn't it? Great.
Definitely.
Great tip. Yep, great tip. That's good. Mm-hmm. Hey, well, look, thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge and some of your tips with us.
You're welcome.
On the Grow Beyond Salon Owner Operator podcast. So why don't you tell us where people can find you and find out more about what you do?
Come and say hello to me anytime. I'm at www.hellowalnuts.com. So I have a very interesting business name, but hopefully that's rememberable. And so come and say hello on there. I've got a handout for people. So we've got the six essential guides to building your website, so you can download that. I've got some training video for you, so that's fabulous if you wanted to get that. But yeah, come around and just have a look. But I would say, you know, just reach out and say hello, and we can connect and find somebody who you can have those, you know, those first conversations with if you're looking to get a website. So it doesn't necessarily have to be me. If it is, fantastic. I would love to chat to you. But it's just finding somebody you can get on with, somebody who's going to connect to you and deliver what you need for your business.
And go and get your six tips guide. Sounds like a good place to start.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Cleo. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes, or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.